KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies here in Atlantic. It's 20 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today, a high near 35. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. A Creston man was arrested Friday night on drug charges. Officials said this morning 40-year-old Chad Lee was charged with the possession of marijuana with the intent to sell, delivery marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and failure to affix a drug tax stamp. Lee was later released on $5,000 bond. And a woman from Lorimore was arrested Friday afternoon. Police in Creston say 48-year-old Pamela Collette Olschel was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for failure to appear in court. She was later released on a $300 bond. The National Weather Service in Des Moines says a large storm system will begin to affect central Iowa tonight, persisting into Tuesday. The system will bring chances for a wintry mix across much of the area. In the southern half of the state, freezing rain and sleet will be possible tonight into early morning hours on Tuesday, with icy conditions possibly affecting the morning travel and tomorrow morning. Precipitation will gradually turn to rain as the temperatures begin to warm Tuesday. Across the north, snow will be possible with some light to moderate accumulations. Winds will increase Tuesday afternoon, which may combine with falling or freshly fallen snow to create hazardous travel conditions Tuesday as well. You should continue to monitor the forecast for updates into Tuesday as the threat becomes more refined. Des Moines police say a 30-year-old man is in custody after he allegedly admitted to fatally shooting his neighbor. Police spokesman Sergeant Jason Halifax said the suspect, who hasn't been formally charged, called his girlfriend, saying he killed a man who lived next door. The woman then notified authorities. Officers say they found the body of a 35-year-old man suffering from multiple gunshot wounds Sunday at a residence near the Des Moines International Airport. Halifax says police think the men had been arguing before the shooting. The victim's name has not been released. Police are investigating after finding a woman's body in an alley in Des Moines. Sergeant Jason Halifax, the body was reported shortly before 8:45 a.m. Sunday in an alley near 14th Street and 14th Place. The woman was 35 years old, but her name wasn't immediately released. Police are trying to determine how she died, but they are treating the death as suspicious. Friends and family have gathered to honor a 14-year-old Vinton girl who died at a hospital after being shot by another teen handling a rifle. A vigil was held at the First Christian Church in Vinton on Sunday to remember Emma Redlinger, who was a freshman at the Vinton-Shelsburg High School. Her uncle described her as a kind, happy, and rambunctious teenager. The Vinton police chief said officers were sent to a Vinton home on Tuesday and found Redlinger has been shot in the head. She was taken to a Vinton hospital and later released or transferred to an Iowa City hospital where she died Saturday. Police are investigating the case as an accident. The trial is scheduled to begin today for a man accused of killing his former girlfriend's 5-year-old daughter. Casey Fredrickson was charged with first-degree murder and sexual assault. Prosecutors say the 35-year-old was watching Evelyn Miller for her mother in July of 2005 when he sexually abused the girl and then stabbed her to death. The body of the Floyd girl was found in the Cedar River a few days after she was reported missing. The trial is being held in Webster City in Hamilton County because a judge granted a change of venue request to move the trial out of Floyd County. Getting caught stealing a horse was a serious crime in the Wild West. A small group of Iowa legislators has been mulling the idea of tougher penalties for modern-day cattle rustlers, pig thieves, and corn snatchers. Representative Lee Hine raises livestock and grain on a farm near Monticello, and he says, unfortunately, it's far easier to catch a car thief than to catch someone who's stolen agricultural commodities.
We always count everything going into the yard, and then as we sell them, we count them going out, and we try to keep track of deaths and things that we take in and out. And there's been times when I've probably been short maybe 10, 15 hogs, and I wonder, did I miscount, or did you somebody slip in there late at night and load up and it's gone with it?
Hine first considered establishing a minimum prison sentence for those caught stealing livestock or corn and beans, but he's now considering other options, and he's not sure whether the bill he's trying to craft will survive this Friday's deadline to pass a House committee.
But the biggest thing I want is to let agriculture understand that this is a bigger issue than what I realized, and maybe we need to start figuring out ways to unfortunately have to put up cameras or start locking things up way tighter.
2011 is the most recent year for which data is available, and there were more convictions in Iowa that year for stealing livestock or grain than for car theft. With a fuel tax increase taking effect last Sunday, yesterday, how quickly could Iowa drivers expect to see road improvements on their daily commutes? State and county officials say there will be additional road work underway later this year, but it's too soon to talk about specifics. The 10-cent a gallon increase began Sunday and is expected to generate over $200 million annually for Iowa's bridges and roads, many of which are considered to be deteriorating or deficient. Lyle Bram, county engineer for Tama and Poweshiek County, says he has a very long list of repairs. The legislature approved the tax increase several days ago in a bipartisan deal. Governor Terry Branstad quickly signed it into law. The tax was last raised in 1989. A private philanthropy group that puts out the Kids Count survey every year is releasing a new report detailing the state-by-state impact of a so-called safety net government programs on children. Laura Spear with the Annie E. Casey Foundation said their findings indicate programs like food stamps and housing subsidies are significantly improving lives in Iowa and nationwide.
We looked at the child poverty rate, which we know is one of the most critical indicators we track, not only because it has a major impact on kids. It can affect their health and their educational achievement, but it really has an impact on the country as a whole.
In Iowa, she says the impact of government safety net programs is very evident.
What we see is that without any government intervention, the poverty rate in the state would be about 22%. With those interventions, it's about 8%. So that means that about 100,000 children in Iowa are being lifted above the poverty line.
The report indicates without government intervention, another 103,000 Iowa children will be living in poverty. In addition to food stamps, government interventions being gauged by the report include the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit parents can claim annually on their tax returns. She admits the findings aren't a big surprise, however.
It's important to know that and to understand that those programs are making a difference. They need to be sustained. But also that we know that these programs are just kind of helping families keep their heads above water and filling the gap that low-wage jobs are leaving for families to kind of making ends meet.
Spear is the foundation's associate director of advocacy and public policy. And Iowans will lose another hour of sleep or lose an hour of sleep this weekend as clocks spring forward. But for many, it'll be just another day in their regular struggle to get enough rest. Among the most common factors for losing sleep are pain, stress, and poor health. It's estimated that more than a third of adults don't always get the amount of sleep they need to feel their best. Dr. Stephen Grant with Iowa Sleep says that's even more true for those who have chronic or acute pain.
Suffering associated with pain can produce anxiety, and the suffering and anxiety when combined can really preclude someone's ability to fall asleep, as well as if they're awoken by pain, return to sleep.
According to a new poll out today from the National Sleep Foundation, pain, stress, and poor health all correlate to shorter sleep durations and worse sleep quality for millions of Americans. Overall, there are about 80 different types of sleep disorders. Grant says among the most common are insomnia, restless legs syndrome, narcolepsy, and apnea. Apnea occurs when a person's airways narrow or collapse during sleep.
Most of the people that I see with obstructive sleep apnea have respiratory events that we call hypopneas. And that's people that just kind of snore and have enough resistance in their airway when they sleep. They just don't ventilate appropriately. They don't get the oxygen in or the carbon dioxide out.
This is Sleep Awareness Week, and the need of many to get more Z's will be apparent on Sunday when daylight saving time begins in the U.S. and an hour is lost as clocks spring forward at 2 a.m. Sunday. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.